You're listening to Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 in Portland. I'm Ibrahim Mubarak of Right to Survive. On this show, we go to Ground Zero, Portland, Oregon, and report news and stories that corporate media don't cover. We'll bring the uncut reality from the perspective of the unhoused community.
This is Lisa Fay with Right to Survive Radio. R2S Radio goes into the houseless community, making their voices heard, speaking to individuals on subjects that directly relate to their daily struggles.
Somebody help me.
That's work.
This is not healthy.
Oh, man.
I am not wealthy.
What I do, have the power to break the chains.
Doing what's right, you.
Welcome to another episode of Right to Survive Radio here on KBOO. We are so honored tonight. We have two fantastic ladies here with us sharing the program that we have going. It's called Right to Survive Ambassadors Program. And we are making lots of moves, lots of positive moves in the community, and we're bridging the gap between the housed and the unhoused. Before we get to our wonderful ladies, I would like to welcome back Ibrahim Mubarak, our co-host for tonight.
Thank you. I'm glad to be back after a long time out, and going forward with the Right to Rest Act bill, HB 2215. However, Senator Barker didn't give us a hearing, and we're going to go full force again. So you can look for that information on warp.pdx on their website. Thank you much.
Raphome.org.
Raphome.org, forgive me. It's been a tiring campaign and all that work for somebody to say, I don't like houseless people, so I'm not going to give you a hearing.
In a nutshell, right?
Yes.
Mm-mm. All right, back to our wonderful ladies. We have awesome volunteers that have stepped up and are just true lights of shining rays of sun that have joined Right to Survive and taken the ambassador program under their wings and ran with it. Ladies, would you like to introduce yourselves?
Well, I'm Kaya Sand, and I'm a local poet, artist, writer. But sometimes poetry and art aren't enough when it comes to politics. So then I think community organizing is another amazingly creative endeavor, and I've learned a lot from Right to Survive and from the, you know, Pitch a Tent campaign to launching Right to Dream 2, that all about creativity and tactical savviness.
Savviness? Okay.
I'm Senator Comstock. I don't know if I can say something quite so fancy. I'm a local sociologist, former business owner, used to have a business down the Pearl and became especially interested in Right to Survive and Right to Dream 2 because of the wonderful work that they do in the area and my own positive experiences with that. And again, for the same reasons, you know, this is urgent work that needs to be done. So, yeah.
Okay, that was good. Now you know who you're listening to, and hope we can get some good information for you all to join this fantastic event that's uniting humans together. So I know both of y'all have been adamant doing this program for a while, so just jump in. And if someone is jumping in too much, I'm going to hold you back and say the next person can jump in. So can you explain to our listening audience on 90.7 FM on cable radio, what's the ambassador program about?
Well, the Ambassador Program, we launched it last May. Lisa and I, as well as another Right to Dream 2 member at the time, Trisha Steele Reed, we all were able to secure a grant from the Regional Arts and Culture Council, an equity grant, to start to involve art. I think that the Ambassador Program is really focused on the fact that it's focused on how to bring together housed and houseless people on the level of equality. But sometimes the level of equality means when there's power involved that we need to amplify some voices and more than others. And in this case, we need to amplify the houseless voices because the housed voices are very loud, the people who are housed in this city. And my response as a housed person is that I need to get my own house in order, so to speak, and think about how a lot of people who are housed are quick to have answers when actually the expertise and experience comes from people who have who are houseless, especially because in our city we have amazing examples of self-governing, of leadership, of organization, of charisma among many people out there. And I just was really struck by the fact that, you know, the virulent kind of cruelty that would be in the comment streams or letters to the editor in the Oregonian of housed people. And I thought, well, how do we start to create experiences where those people aren't just lashing out, but actually hopefully meeting and talking and listening to houseless people?
Yeah, exactly. I joined a little bit later.
Who was I?
Sandra.
I didn't want people to think that was my good voice.
Yeah, this is really Ibrahim in disguise, but it's very good disguise. I joined a little bit later, but I mean, some of the things that I really value about the work that's being done at Right to Survive has to do about the importance that I think all people put to being productive, contributing members of communities. Mm. And the things that have struck me most about the work in different venues and related to this work is the ways in which particularly unhoused people find real value and a lot of positivity and dignity and being part of something where they have something to contribute, not just in the Ambassadors Program, but also the kinds of testimonies that people give when they want to enter into the self-governed Right to Dream 2 and the way that they talk about what they can contribute and the different knowledges that they bring to that. That has been something that has been especially important, mm-hmm. sort of in terms of my education and my appreciation of the work that's being done mm-hmm. across this last year.
So with you all both being house people, I don't know if you've ever been houseless or close to being houseless.
I have.
Okay. So how does it feel when so many house people have this negative connotation on houseless people who were formerly housed, but because you don't have a house or apartment or a trailer, then you're ostracized or looked at as an outcast or something?
I'm sorry, what was it? Could you make a little more succinct question? I'm not sure if
I
understand.
How does this make you feel by being a house person, being the champion for the houseless people, when so many people that live inside have a negative connotation on the houseless people?
Yeah, I guess it makes me feel upset, but also protective and mm-hmm. wanting to, you know, provide situations in which people can learn to, can have an opportunity to appreciate what other people have to give and can have an opportunity to see the full, you know, human dimensions of other people. And, you know, not, you know, when people are going down the street and, you know, you see somebody and they're, you know, you immediately close up, you bring your stuff closer and you walk on by and you hope that they don't ask you anything. You want opportunities where people have a chance to talk to one another and also to think about what it means to walk by someone like that and whether it's possible to interact with people on a regular basis in a more human, mutual like a mutually recognizing way.
I get that all the time by people looking at the color of my skin and my spirituality.
Oh, absolutely.
So,
yeah.
You know, but they fell in to look at the humanity part of it.
I feel a sense of responsibility with aspects of privilege that I have. My white skin, the fact that I'm housed, the fact I'm a U.S. citizen with documents. Mm-hmm. I mean, all these things and ways in which I have privilege mean that there's limits on how I'm seeing the world. And so I have to make extra effort to try to hopefully see a little more broadly. And I also have a responsibility, I think, because of those privileges. So I feel so strongly that we're one fabric of people in this city, whether we're housed or houseless, and that we need to be able to see each other as part of that, you know, that we're all together. And so I think how it makes me feel is when I see the kind of anger about houseless people, it's actually baffling, and I'm spending a lot of time thinking about it. You know, I mentioned the letters to the editor and the Oregonian, but people talk about how their property values will be threatened if someone is homeless next to them. And I think,
wow,
you know, that's amazing that someone can just say that out loud and feel okay about saying it. That's the society that we live in, that maximizing profit is more important than someone being sheltered.
Moreover, they don't see the irony in a statement like that, yeah. That you have this property and then...
Yeah, you already have the property.
I know. Right? Like, there's just... Yeah.
So I have a responsibility then, because I am inside. I have property, so I have to hopefully say that the emperor has no clothes with those kinds of statements.
So you're going to give him a barrel. Well, so do you all get any flack or negative feedback from your neighbors or anything? Or do they know you all doing this to help people that's being criminalized for living on the streets?
You know, I think one of the things I'm trying to work through and think about is I think it's more that sometimes people will say, thank you for doing this work, or like that it's a sort of do-gooder, you know, self-righteous kind of thing to be doing. And I'm trying to figure out how to work through that, because I'm really interested in just creating this situations where we see each other as human. And so that doesn't feel like a self-righteous stance to be taking.
Moreover, it's a solution for all of us. I mean, this is something that affects all of us, no matter like who we are, and it's about having people start to recognize that those solutions lie in conversing and not shutting each other down. But to answer your question, certain people like that I interact with, not my friends exactly, but you know, you'll mention it in passing, and there's some joke or this or that or the other thing, you know, and you have to come back at it. And for me, a big part of that is also by actually saying, well, you know, I did live on the streets myself for a year and a half, and then to share some of those experiences, like the very distinctive ways in which you're treated by the police, for example. You know, a friend of mine was hauled off to jail for twirling a frisbee on his finger, which they decided to call releasing a projectile object. That was part of my early education.
And
you know,
drones,
like,
are legal.
Well, yeah, exactly.
But you know, it's like people don't even, you know, there. I've had conversations also in social media where you know, like people you sort of kind of know, and you know, they really have so little awareness of the difference of the worlds in which. That they can be living right side by side with people, and their experience is entirely different from the one that the person next to them is living.
And yeah, maybe we should all be blind.
We're going to go to a little music break, and when we come back, we're going to shift gears a little bit. This is fascinating.
We get it. Almost every night, and when that moon gets so big and bright, it's supernatural delight. Every border was dancing in the moonlight. Everybody here is out of sight, but they don't bark and they don't bite. They keep things loose, they keep things alive. Every border was dancing.
Welcome back to Right to Survive Radio Show here on 90.7 on KBOO FM. And we're here with Sandra Comstock and Kaya Sands and Lisa Faye. And do your thing.
Thank you, Ibrahim. I wanted to ask, since the program began, how many neighborhoods and communities have we reached out to?
We have, we held an event at Know Thy Food, the Warehouse Cafe that's over in the Brooklyn neighborhood. And then we held an event, we've held several at Sisters of the Road Cafe during their Women Identified Self-Care Day, which is the first Friday of every month. And then we held an event at the North Portland branch of the library on Killingsworth. And then finally at St. Philip Neri Church, which is in the Hosford Abernathy neighborhood.
Talk to the hand.
Yeah, exactly. Hand.
What a pun. And with our outreach and these community events, do we have any idea of how many people we've reached out to and connected with?
I'd say we have had probably, if we look at all those events, 200 people at least attendance. Our supporters list is over 100 emails, and I don't even know how many on Facebook, but we've really built. I keep hearing from people that this is exactly what they've been wanting to do. And so I think there's a lot of energy out there, and we have to keep finding ways to really work with people so that they can step up and you know, organize around their own neighborhoods.
So you mentioned that people was coming to you saying this is what should have been happening. Mm-hmm. And I don't understand why people think they need permission to say hi to somebody. I mean, you say hi to your neighbors, so why can't you talk to just anybody? And I think that's what made America great, on how friendly our society used to be. Now it's just an individual, cold society.
So at these events, how do we engage with houseless and housed
Well,
people?
So, I mean, that was what I was just going to say, because I haven't really described what actually goes on at these events. And the wonderful thing that happens at these events is that people get to sit down and make clay tiles together, tiles that we hope one day will be in a permanent site, something like Right to Dream 2, but hopefully a permanent site where people can rest and have an uninterrupted sleep on a regular basis without a lot of bureaucracy and baloney.
And we usually have speakers. We had a fantastic panel at St. Philip Neri. Lisa Faye moderated it, and then Ibrahim was on that panel, as was Ryan Cruz, Sarah Chandler, and Tim Merrill. And so that was really, we had so much good feedback from that. And then Leo Rhodes has given a number of talks at other events. And Sandra has done this beautiful job of creating surveys to start to track how perceptions shift after people listen to the talks. And also how people who identify as houseless or homeless, some things they want housed people to know. And before I came in, I was thumbing through some of those, and I noticed just what you said, Ibrahim. People say again and again, I just want someone to smile at me when they're walking by and treat me with just a little bit of dignity. I just want a little less judgment.
Right.
Yeah, I know that. It feels like that we're a commercial. Pardon me, sir. Do you have any grape or palm? Or, you know, or pardon me, do I have permission to speak to you because I'm housed? You know? What's in the name?
So, Sandra.
Yeah. We all eat Grey Poupon.
With watercress. So, Sandra, Kaya had mentioned that you have been compiling the surveys, collecting them. Has anything, and you did a wonderful job in the creation of the surveys.
Oh, thank you.
Has anything really struck you that the house people have said either before or after the interactions?
Well, yeah, I think one of the things that has struck me is the ways in which, like, I mean, I think giving people an opportunity to reflect on what they think, mm-hmm. and it's, oftentimes it's not necessarily something particularly negative, but that in the process of hearing other people talk about their experiences and exchanging ideas with the people at the tables, they do start to think about things differently, particularly the importance of being recognizing others' humanity, like that's just as much a human need as food, shelter, etc. Like that notion of and that human connection, and I mean that's also mm-hmm. for me really important too. Like again, like goes back to the theme of when people come in and talk so passionately when they want to become part of Right to Dream too about what they can do for the community, and that notion, the importance of human connection for people's sense of well-being in the world, you know? So I think that's a real revelation for people. I mean, there's lots of other things that are more obvious, I suppose. I don't think people come in, most of them don't come in with a deep prejudice because they're there in the first place, all right? So they already have an interest and they've educated themselves somewhat. But it's a different thing to talk to people and talk about what their priorities are. And also, like, the notion of sleep. I mean, the idea that not having sleep makes you – I mean, every new parent knows this, right? Like, I felt like I was like, now I know why the Branch Davidians killed themselves when I had my first child, because I did not like being, like, woken up by loud noises every couple of hours, you know? So, I mean, that is a revelation to people, like the notion of the importance of uninterrupted sleep where you're not always on alert for either someone to hurt you or someone to come along and move you along or what have you. So,
and I'm glad you brought that up, because that's what the Right to Rest Act, mm-hmm. HB 2215, was about, criminalizing people for sleeping. Mm-hmm. And the question that we're asking, what crime are we committing while we sleep? You know, why are you going
to criminalize? To the contrary.
Yes.
It's essential. We don't function. Our brains do not function without sleep.
But you've done so much to educate people about that. I mean, everyone I've seen who's interacted with Right to Survive, Right to Dream 2 freshly is just stunned by, you know, the sleep challenges, other challenges, and also so impressed by the organization. I feel like a politics, like a university politics class could just be centered around the work that you do at Right to Survive. I mean, it's so amazing to you know, how does a bill become a law?
Right.
That should be that. What is that Saturday morning cartoon that should be remade?
I'm just a bill on Capitol Hill.
That should
y'all
be remade.
Y'all know I can't sing.
You.
I'm sorry, I sing like I talk.
Yeah, I could do that whole thing in my sleep.
So we talked a little bit about the dialogues and the panels and the interaction between the housed and the unhoused with stories. When you said that people create tiles or they write stories or poems, when you get to that part of the program, have you seen any interactions that have really stuck out with you?
Yeah, I mean, I love that whole process, because so many people remember being 5 years old and working with clay or Play-Doh. And so some of that comes back for all of us. And you're just sitting there working with earth to try to leave a little bit of a mark. And while you're doing that, you can talk. And so conversations happen across the tables exactly as we hope, you know, housed to houseless, houseless to housed, among each other. One thing I've really been struck by is at Sisters of the Road, and then we went into Right to Dream 2, the sleeping tent, and did some tile work in there. And in both cases, we had a lot of people use the clay almost like a page to write something down. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of them, you know, you dream until your dreams come true, or don't die until you have to. I mean, these amazing, you don't know how strong you are until being strong is All You Have Left. That's right. Sarah Chandler. Yeah. But I'll give her credit. But I actually, but there's so many. I mean, they really stick with me. And I think, oh, those are going to be permanent. And all these people get to say something, right? And say it in clay.
Right. Well, and the meditative aspect of it. It's like, it's the same thing that walking does for me. Like when you're working on something and the kind of the flow of the conversation and, you know, you can talk about what you're making. You can talk and, you know, just it sort of, it's very connective. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think it does well to put people at ease and break down some of the barriers that people have too.
Yeah. It's, you know, years ago I worked with Leo Rhodes, who was one of your co-founders of Right to Dream 2, on a project where people who are houseless were working with people who had experienced Japanese American internment. Mm-hmm. And what we discovered through that poetry writing was it was really powerful to have a subject in common that wasn't necessarily about everyone's identity. There's a looseness then that could happen where people could get to know each other. And so Leo and I over the years kept talking about that. What are those things that we can find, you know, that where we can open the gate on the gated community? How do we, you know, what is it that we can put in common that everyone can share and hopefully create a little equality in that process?
Yeah. It never failed to amaze me how people all through time have been discriminated against. And then they reflect that on other people, you know. So if you know how that feel, why would they project that on other people? Mm-hmm. And I think that's what this ambassador program is all about. It's opening people up so people can realize that, hey, I may be tall, but I am somebody. I may be houseless, but I am somebody. And that's the thing. We are people. We are human. And I don't understand, for the love of me, why neighborhoods or social status belittle other social status.
Well, I mean, I think that's, I mean, a part of what we're doing is creating a generation or a group of advocates, because ultimately a lot of this is about, a lot of the reasons that people do turn around and discriminate have to do with the systemic things that make it easy, natural, et cetera, to do. I mean, the fact that there aren't places where people have a right to rest,
right?
You know, and then, you know, like in the tensions that creates, for example. But, you know, like, I think, you know, I think that that's exactly why you need human beings to break down those rules and regulations.
Real human beings.
Yeah. that encourage people to break down the things that cause us to discriminate.
Okay, we're going to take another music break, and Lisa Faye will come back with y'all, with Kaya and Sandra, with more interesting questions and answers and concepts. And, yes, you don't have to have permission to speak to me.
Do you have any great poupons?
Love me like you did, but you did, but you did. And I thank you. But you took your love to someone else. I wouldn't know what it meant to be loved to death. You made me feel like I've never felt.
All right.
But you did.
I would like to thank these lovely ladies for joining us tonight.
And I'd like to add that Lisa and Ibrahim were dancing during the break.
That's right. Put them on the spot.
Right. All right. We have a call-in number for folks that are listening tonight that might like to call in and add their opinion or have something to say. Hopefully they participated in the ambassador program at one of the events.
Or they didn't, so they can know.
Or right. Okay, the number is 503-231-8187. Let me say it again. It's 503-231-8187. And feel free to call in anytime over the next half hour, and we will be happy to hear from you.
Make that call. You have my permission.
That's right. And bring your credit card.
So, next month, I hear the Ambassador Program is playing a big event. I'm so excited and thrilled.
So am I.
Which one of you ladies would like to start?
Kaya is the expert.
No. Well, it's the Light the Hearth Festival. And Terry, who also named Right to Dream 2, came up with that name because we were really thinking about how do you have sort of a housewarming that's for houseless, right? So we're having it in a park. And it's a festival in which all are welcome. It's citywide. It's at Jamison Square on Wednesday, May 10th. You might notice that that's pretty much a month from now because it's timed around the next Right to Survive show that's on KBOO. You're going to air live that day.
We're trying to make it happen.
Yeah.
Hopefully we will be.
And bring kids, too.
Lots of kids.
It's housed and houseless. There's going to be lots and lots of art. There's going to be living stages. We'll do a Theater of the Oppressed workshop. Right to Survive, as I said, will air. The Street Roots Vendor Poets are going to launch their new zine.
Woo-hoo!
And do a reading. Pear Youth are also going to do a reading, and they're also going to have an art exhibit out in the open on easels.
Yeah.
Awesome. And there'll be a lot. There'll be music. Outside the Frame is a film project that's going to have some youth film. Maybe you know more about Outside the Frame than I do.
Outside the Frame is a wonderful organization that brings houseless youth together to learn about film, tell stories through pictures and through film. And they do everything. They write their scripts. They do their filming. They do the editing, the producing, the whole nine yards. They're an awesome group of young individuals, and we are so inspired and grateful to be working with them.
And so since this is going to be a houseless warming party, do we make a bonfire where we can drink our drinks and throw the grass?
Yeah, I'm sure that's
we're getting a public park.
Oh, they may say, oh, those houseless people destroying our park. Do we have permission to let them know?
I'd say here, have some
we're
going
to heat it
calm down.
We have a caller. We have a caller. Who is our caller?
Hi.
Welcome to Right to Survive Radio. Who am I speaking with?
Jessie.
Hi, Jessie.
Hi.
How you doing?
How you doing, Jessie?
Hi, Jessie.
I'm good. Hi.
Hi. Do you have permission to speak?
Do you have a question or comment for our guest?
I just wanted to ask, how can, like, high school students get involved?
Oh, that's great.
Great question.
I love that question. Well, you can find us on Facebook or Instagram, first of all, just to be able to follow and to get in contact with us. So that's Right to Survive Ambassadors on both of those. On Twitter, it's R2S Ambassador. And we have so many ways. We need volunteers for the Light the Hearth Festival. There's also going to be a lot of ways that you can make art at the Light the Hearth Festival, from clay tiles on and on. So whether you want to start to
get involved on the volunteering level or just on the participatory level, we have lots of space for you, and we love high school students.
Can I add one last little thing? I mean, we're also looking for people that want to be advocates. So there are a lot of different legislative things that are happening in Portland and also at the state level, and we're always looking for people that want to help. I mean, if you want to start a letter-writing campaign at your school and do a little presentation, we would love to have you on our team.
What are some research topics? Rezoning the city? What are some of the research topics?
Giving everybody a house.
Right to rest. Safety for the houseless.
Yeah.
Just to name a few.
Yeah, there's a lot. And getting the word out into the schools and having kids that are interested in bringing other kids in is a great and huge boon to the program.
And if you want to work with us to create an event at your school, we also can do that.
Awesome.
And Ibrahim speaks to students, right?
Yes. Right, right.
Plays the role of the wise old man.
No, not old.
We have another call on, and who are we speaking with?
Me.
Me. Okay, I love that.
Actually, my name is Norm.
How you doing, Norm?
How you doing, Norm?
Hi.
I'm doing really good. I'm doing really well. I mean, I'm inside, you know. I'm behind a door that I locked, and I'm the woman with the key.
Okay. Great. Have you ever lived in that behind an unlocked door?
I feel so privileged right now. to my question. In this arts fair, is there going to be a spoken word stage?
We are organizing poetry events, so the event we're especially highlighting the creativity of people who are unhoused, but at the same time,
you know, I know a poet who's unhoused.
Yeah, and if you've got some ideas for us, just hit us up with a message through our social media, and we would love to work with you.
Absolutely.
And I do want to say, though, because we are about bringing housed and houseless people together, and we have a number of artists who are stepping up. We have an artist who is creating a tea house and giving out ceramic cups that she makes, because part of what artists are trying to do, too, is to show the city that artists aren't just about doing, you know, having fluffy lives. Artists are gritty and care about power imbalances and equity in our city and are willing to step up.
Yeah, and I guess they don't always have to be separating rich people from their money.
Oh, what a cardinal sin that would be.
Which is a nice thing. You know, maybe that's a little bit of a catty kind of comment. You know, I found that when I was houseless, I was kind of edgy and angry, and, you know, maybe I alienated some people that might have been allies if I wouldn't have been so. And you know, that's another thing about talking with houseless people. I don't know how to talk to somebody anymore who's, you know, obviously sleeping outside. You know, I want to talk, but I don't know how anymore.
Well, come to one of our events. You can talk to them.
You have our permission. But I'm glad you brought that up.
I'm sorry, but, you know, I think a lot of it is like, I've been there, done that, I don't want to think about it anymore, and gee whiz, you know? And I was lucky. I had a family that helped me get off the street, and I know that there's a lot of folks that don't.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
It sucks.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you brought that up, Norm, because I constantly get that from people that live inside. What do I say to them? How do I talk to them? Do I give them money? Do we do this and do that? And I say, do what your heart feel for you to do. You talk to people like people, you know, with respect, no matter their social status is.
People aren't the only people that I walk by on the street and not say a word to.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we live in a culture where you're weird if you try to strike up a conversation with a stranger.
This is Portland.
So why not be weird?
I'm weird.
maybe I should keep it weird more or something. Yeah. I don't know. You know, maybe I'm just in my bubble and Gotta get out of that damn bubble.
Yeah, it's, come out of the bubble.
It's time to bust that bubble.
What's that?
Wednesday event.
When are these events? Are they regular events?
The one that we're really working toward now is the May 10th, Wednesday, May 10th, starting at 4 p.m. and going until dark. Wednesday, May 10th, 4 p.m. to dark at Jameson Square Park. And then we'll start to schedule events after that are neighborhood-based again. But this is our citywide, everyone turnout. Show the mayor, the city council, show everyone that Portland cares about the people who are living without shelter.
So Wednesday, May 10th, that's across from City Hall?
No, it's at Jameson Square Park.
So it's at around 10th and Johnson.
Yes.
And the Pearl.
The Pearl.
Right off the streetcar line.
Jameson Park.
Uh-huh.
10th and Johnson.
Northwest.
Mm-hmm.
And Jameson Park, 10th and Johnson, Wednesday, May 10th.
Yeah. And if you find us on our public Facebook page, Instagram, Twitter, we'll be promoting it too. So write to Survive Ambassadors.
Okay. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for your call.
So you mentioned some of the people that are helping to sponsor with us. Can you talk a little bit about the poster and the artwork with Pear?
Yeah. So an artist named Michael is making our poster. He is working with Pear Youth, and he is just kind of launching his graphic design. He showed some of his art at the Pear Gallery last Thursday. We're really excited to be working with him, and we're going to unleash that poster in another week or two. So look for it all around town, hopefully, if we get enough volume. Or if you want to help us put it up around town, let us know, because we need some bodies to stick up these posters.
Or if you have a business or storefront and would be willing to put the poster in your window, we would be very honored. So we have about 2 minutes before our next music break. Besides Pear and Outside the Frame, what has and Street Roots is doing Zen? What is the Zen about?
They do a, I think it's an annual a publication of poetry that the vendors all put together, and I think the vendors have a poetry group. So I hope that most of our listeners have talked to vendors, Street Roots vendors, bought Street Roots from them. This is your chance to get to hear a little bit more of their creativity.
Mm-hmm. And many of the Street Roots vendors are houseless or have been houseless at some point. Mm-hmm. So this would be a very awesome way to connect with people who are either out on the streets or have transitioned from the streets.
Yeah.
Yes, I know Street Roots have a poetry corner, a poetry page in their paper. So those of you who know this, keep buying Street Roots. And those of you who don't know it, start buying a Street Root paper to help the houseless community.
Mm. Best news source in the city.
Mm-hmm. All right, I think we're going to another music break. Hey, there we go. Little hot stepper.
All right,
Welcome back to our Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM. And today we're here with Right to Survive Ambassador Program. We have Sandra Comstock and Kaya Sand and Lisa Faye.
And Ibrahim Mubarak, our other co-host. All right, we've been talking about the Ambassador Program that Right to Survive began. Could we talk a little bit about who our sponsors and our grants are coming from to help provide this program?
Sure. Regional Arts and Culture Council awarded us an equity grant last spring, and that's been really important for launching what we do, having their support, and the fact that they're having equity grants to involve art all around the city, I think, is really significant and something to be proud of. And then we also have Neighbors West Northwest, so that covers kind of the west side neighborhoods, and they are supporting specifically this Light the Hearth Festival. So, you know, we're grateful that there's folks out there who want to write the checks.
I want to talk to the Pearl District business office. So Sandra, how many follow-ups have the neighborhoods, people that live inside, reached out and went to other ambassador programs?
I'm not sure what you're asking. So you mean in the... all right. So that... all right.
I was just joking. I'm
mixing things.
I threw your curveball.
He's giving you a curveball.
You're doing the curveball.
Okay, I throw a fast
I see only in straight lines. Well, I think Kaya said we have 100 people on our list now that are involved with things as after the fact. So that's 100 people. Maybe 50% of the people that have showed up at these things, more or less.
Mm-hmm. So is it a continuation of these people that's following you all or joining?
I mean, I think if, you know, when we put out calls for action, I think these people are motivated to do stuff. And the more we can sort of use that energy and keep it going, I think it's really important with a list like that to keep people engaged because, you know, continual engagement, that habitual engagement is really what keep things alive.
We have to figure out how to make sure we're making the best use of that energy and take our cues from the houseless community on what that might be.
Right, exactly. We're looking to work with people that want to work with us. That are, you know, if they say, hey, you know, get on the horn, call Mayor Wheeler and tell him XYZ. Mm-hmm. We're happy to do that. We don't want to be the ones running the show. We believe that that it's the people that are actually experiencing it and have to deal with the consequences that are the ones that have to be, you know, telling us what they'd like to see, because that's the whole principle of this program in the first place, is really putting them in the driver's seat.
So if you're listening to this and you're interested in your own neighborhood, we'd really like you to step forward. We've had people from the Overlook neighborhood who are interested in starting to organize, from the Lentz neighborhood where there's a lot. They just had a town hall of really trying to sort of bridge between homeless residents of Lentz and low-income but housed residents, and some of the frictions that also have gone down in the last year.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, with every good that's bad, with every bad that's good, have y'all had any negative responses from any of the neighborhoods or people in that neighborhood?
You know, I think this first year we've really been building from the kinds of relationships we already have, whether, you know, the North Portland Library was really building from a previous relationship, or people come forward. I would say that is a really important piece, though, is relationships. The fact that, you know, we get to know people and we don't just sort of force things on people. So, you know, how do we get to know them and figure out what might actually make sense?
Can I add something in? Because, I mean, making the connection between people that are on the verge of being houseless and those that already are is really important. I mean, I've been doing a lot of work on these mass, like these big no-cause evictions and like 100% increase evictions in, and I'm forgetting, with the Rigler School and a lot of the kids. Anyway, those, like when we had the whole discussion around ending no-cause evictions, at least, or putting a price on doing a no-cause eviction to people in the city hall, one of the things that really struck me was some of the testimony from people talking about how the majority of people that they're helping in that are now houseless that need a place to stay, more so than ever before, are people that have never been houseless before. And that's, the thing is, people are being evicted in huge numbers, and it's hard to keep up. I mean, the city is a couple of years behind where they should be in terms of creating affordable housing and things like that. And one of my hopes is that another piece of the ambassadors program can be finding common cause between. Obviously, I know that's part of what Right to Survive does already, but. And that's why I love Right to Survive, is the way in which, it sort of brings about all sorts of issues that affect the houseless community, but also affect other communities like environment, et cetera. So I'm sorry, I'm just going on.
So that's okay. You said the city is 2 years behind. Had a 10-year plan that's now going on this 20-year plan. So I think decades behind on creating affordable housing.
No, I was just thinking about the zoning laws that just went into place, but we've got two years worth of grandfathered in stuff. That make it that have no affordable housing component whatsoever. Yeah. So that's, obviously it's a much bigger problem, but just sort of thinking about, being at those discussions and hearing both about, just how many people are being evicted that have always had homes up until now.
So you all can reach our infamous new commissioner, Chloe Elderly, and I think she's leading the housing crisis here in Portland.
Yeah, she's doing a great job.
So besides Overlook and Lentz, are there any neighborhoods that you think we should really reach out to in the next year?
Well, what do you think?
I'd like to see more in my neighborhood, sure. Like, I want to have one, up in the Selwood area, because I think there's some opportunities to think about things that could be done there.
Yeah, I think, thinking about some of the conversations with Lentz neighborhood organizers, some of the pain is around the fact that some people feel like the city turned their back on the low-income neighborhood and what would happen in a wealthy neighborhood. And I think we do have to keep focusing on changing the minds of our more wealthy Portlanders. I mean, I think about, some of going back to sort of that idea of your property value going down and how that's mainstream. We have to unmainstream that. We have to make that a strange sentiment that you would actually put profit ahead of people's safety and health. And also, there's all kinds of outcry over sort of the aesthetics of tents and, I think that's a little bit bizarre as an artist, because that's those are colors and tarps and, I'm not quite sure why that's so offensive and why that's such a problem to people to see tents when those are actually creating safety and, a little bit more shelter for people.
Right. And then also there's 100 ways to solve that issue, if that's really your issue, it seems to me.
Well, they've been saying for years now that tents are not a humane way to live. But when we go camping in the woods, when we camp on the beach,
and what's more inhumane, like having no cover over your head and being rained on, that's right. Ridiculous.
Well, the original people of this land lived in teepees, which is a high tech form of tents, and maybe a reminder of people how we stole this land from people when they see tents. Oh, we stole that land. So
the Ibrahim theory. Yeah.
we now need 25,000 square feet to live in.
So we have the big Light the Hearth celebration next month on May 10th, and we want everyone to come out and join us. And we're going to have food, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to try and do the show live next month from there. Mm-hmm. We're going to have artists, youth, film. It's kid friendly. It's neighborhood friendly. It's really a way to embrace all the people that came out and joined us this year, and welcoming them back and interacting as different neighborhoods in one community event. And then the tiles. We're going to present the tiles to Right to Dream too.
Yay!
And Sarah Carlton I'm sorry, Chandler. Sarah. Chandler.
Married name. Yeah.
Sarah Chandler.
She sounds like a movie star, right?
I know. She answers to all.
Has proposed a wonderful idea of making a welcoming desk mm-hmm. with the towels. And I think that is just a very fabulous idea. Mm. One that if Right to Dream 2 is relocated again, hopefully to a permanent spot, that the desk could be easily unassembled and reassembled mm-hmm. as a welcoming no matter where they're yeah. located.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she described it as sort of temporary, permanent, and Sarah Chandler is the mm-hmm. on the board of Right to Dream 2 and chair of the membership, right? Mm-hmm. Sure. And she and I love the idea that it sort of bridges the outside and the inside of Right to Dream 2, just like these tiles. Mm-hmm. So if you want to make a tile, come to the Light the Hearth Festival on yeah. Wednesday, May 10th at Jameson Square Park, where we'll have clay, and you can pull up to a table and sit down and work clay.
Yeah. Exactamundo. Maybe everybody should come dressed us as they think houseless people, so we can't tell who yeah. housed and unhoused, and then maybe they great. Can speak. Yeah,
I think that's great because this is, you know, service is very important, but this is actually not about service. This is about just getting connection. Together and enjoying each other's company and each other's humanity right. on a level of equality.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's one of the things that I've loved most about our program is that all the families that have come out and the way that these have been family events that are just about connection and gathering and learning from one another.
So in the last minute, will the program exist after May? Will we do another year?
Yes.
Yay!
We are doing probably a June to June calendar with the Right to Dream or Right to Survive Ambassador Program. So let us know any ideas or ways you want to get involved as we start to plan for the year ahead.
Neighborhoods that want to invite.
Yeah. Yeah, and events you want to plan that will help you plan for your own neighborhoods.
And so if you're a high school student, college student,
grade
school, if you're a teacher of a class and you want to get involved, we would love to have you.
Yeah, Sandra just said we're the house's party planners. And I thought, I think about this as radical hospitality, you know? How do we create joyful situations?
Radical hospitality. Yeah.
Well, thank you both for joining us today.
Yes. Sandra, thank you for inviting us.
Thank you so much. I love your show. Listeners, it's the second Wednesday of every month, 6 to 7.
You're welcome. Yeah.
You all have been lovely guests and full of information, and I hope people continue to contact y'all because this is very important.
Yeah,
you stitching the communities back together.
Yes.
One fabric.
One fabric. That's right. With no boundaries or borders
right.
or no right. or no tall walls.
A crazy quilt.
I'd like to thank you for joining us here at Right to Survive Radio on KBOO 90.7 FM on your radio dial. Right to Survive meets tomorrow night and every second and fourth Thursday of the month at Sisters of the Road Cafe, Northwest 6th and Davis, downtown, right on the MAX line. I hope you enjoyed the show about the Ambassador Program and would like to come out and see us. Join us. We'd love to have you May 10th, starting at 4 p.m. through sunset. Right to Survive is devastated about the news that House Representative Barker would not give us a hearing in the Judiciary Committee this legislative cycle to have HB 2215 heard. The Right to Rest Act can be found on the drafthome.org website. And you can follow more in the future years as we will continue to push the Right to Rest Act until we get it passed. Right to Survive is part of a West Coast coalition made up of California, Colorado, and Oregon.